Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to our broadcast today. Of course, this is not Pastor Al Davis. He is on the road coming back from Kentucky, but this is Pastor John Lutz. If you've been listening the last half hour, we have James and Rebecca Maletti in studio with us here, and we've been talking about Romans chapter 1. But I want to thank Pastor Al for the opportunity to fill in for him. I know he is still planning on having his Friday night Bible study, which I believe starts at 7 o'clock there at the Holiday Inn Express, right there on 82, I believe, right by 77.
You know, we've gone to his church there in that hotel, and it's a nice little Bible study thing that he does. He's a genius in the Bible.
Yeah, he's got a lot of wisdom, a lot of knowledge of the Scriptures, and so it's really an open invitation to go. You can ask questions. And so I know he always enjoys, I'm not sure how long it lasts, a couple hours maybe, but I believe it starts at 7 o'clock there. And so, but I appreciate Brother Al so much. I've told this story before, but if maybe you're new to this, when we first started North Coast Baptist Church, and that was in 2004, we started at a nursing home, actually, an assisted living home, rented one of their rooms there for $35 a week, and it was a great place to start. But then we had an opportunity to buy the building we're in now, and so we sent a letter to a lot of the Ohio Global Independent Baptist Fellowship preachers. There's about 80 or so in the state, and so we sent letters out and saying, hey, would you like to contribute to this? And I'll never forget, Brother Al sent me a card, and he put $20 in it. And he said, I know we can't do much, but I hope that this will be a blessing to you. And I never forgot that gesture. In fact, about 4 years after that, we had an opportunity to go on out and do canvassing and outreach for his church as well. And we were able to take, I wish I could say it was had 20 people to take, but at that time we didn't have 20 people to take. But I think we took about 12 or 14 people out there, and I was trying to get one for every dollar that he sent. But he's always been such a blessing and just a tender-hearted, godly man, knowledgeable man, mm-hmm. and sincere. And just thank the Lord for him. And I know he would really love to be here today. He loves the radio broadcast, gives him such an opportunity to influence people, to get people thinking. And that's what I love about his broadcast. He just gets you thinking. I try to incorporate that in my outreach. I think if we just get people thinking, they can start to examine what they really believe. And so, so again, pray for Brother Al as he travels back. But be there tonight, 7 o'clock, at the Holiday Inn Express there off 82 and 77. All right.
Wait, before you get going, you know where else you can be tonight?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Go ahead. Tell me. Sorry.
You can be at the Lakewood Park. We're planning. I and another fellow from Cleveland Baptist Church are leading a Bible study on the steps, the solstice steps.
Heathens.
The solstice steps of the
gone over to the dark side.
Of the Lakewood Park.
Come back from the dark side.
Yeah, come back.
There was probably a lot of that kind of witchery kind of stuff going on 2 days ago on the summer solstice,
because
they take that stuff really seriously.
Oh, yeah.
Holy moly. But 8 o'clock tonight at Lakewood Park, if it stops raining on the solstice steps, if it doesn't stop raining, we'll probably move under. There's a little pavilion over there.
Yeah.
But we're going to have a Bible study and some fellowship and good times. And if you're available, come on out.
Yeah, and that class is really geared towards millennial type ages, right? 18 to 39, somewhere in that range.
Cleveland Baptist Church has broken down the Sunday school classes, or
yeah.
Conversely,
I mean, anybody can come, but
called adult Bible fellowships, and they break them down into different groups. There's old ladies, there's older men, there's couples, there's younger couples, older couples, there's single people. They break them down into a lot of groups, and this one is specifically for younger, kind of like college graduate age people. But anybody's welcome to come tonight to Lakewood Park, and we encourage you to do it, because there's going to be some real good talk about. It's funny that you laughed about the solstice steps, because I'm going to incorporate a lot of that into it, and what the problem with idol worship is, and what God thinks of it.
Yeah, it's never a good thing, is
it? No, it's not.
And
it's a lot bigger than people think it is, too.
You know,
it's not just holding the golden calf in your hand.
Well, right. And we're studying Romans 1 here this afternoon. We started in the first half hour, so we're going to be in Romans chapter 1. By the way, let me make mention too. We are not taking phone calls today, so I know there was a announcement in Al's promo, but we are not taking phone calls. So just so you know that. But we were studying Romans chapter 1, and we were basically right around verse 22, and now we're going to verse 23. And change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. And this is important to understand that wrong thinking always leads to wrong behavior and eventually leads to the wrong worship. In fact, he goes on to say in verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped the and served the creature more than the creator. So it's a very important principle. And by the way, this applies to the saved and the unsaved. You know, there's a lot of saved people, as we already talked about, who don't think properly.
Right.
And it leads to wrong behavior. And that wrong behavior actually is a form of worship, idol worship. And it's either themselves or another person or another thing. And it actually leads to a place that resembles somebody who's lost. And that's why, you know, when you think about, the Bible says, put on the armor of God. What is the first piece of armor that God tells us to put on? Do you know which one it is?
The helmet.
The helmet, right? Helmet of what?
Salvation.
See, because, well, you know, it's got to affect your heart. It does have to affect your heart, but it starts in the head. And it's got to transition from there down. See, if I think properly, and I agree with God, in my conscience, I acknowledge I have violated and sinned against a holy, righteous God, that ought to break my heart. That ought to bring sorrow into my heart. You know, all repentance, or all sin, I should say, all sin involves sorrow, and all repentance involves sorrow.
Well, that's what's happening now, is the church, lots of the church, churches that aren't properly teaching the Word of God, they leave repentance totally out. It doesn't even exist anymore.
Because part of it is, one, they don't understand themselves because they've never truly repented. Two, the truth that they are espousing does not embolden the conscience or strengthen the conscience. It actually weakens the conscience and comforts the conscience when God is trying to get a hold of people like the Apostle Paul. Saul, Saul, why kickest against the pricks? Well, what were the pricks? His conscience was pricked. How can I kill a man when God's word says, you know, thou shalt not kill, and he's asking for forgiveness for me, referring to Stephen, and I can only imagine the thoughts of his mind that were going as he's walking down that road to Damascus. He obviously at some point was seeking after the truth, and he was ready to have the Lord Jesus revealed to him because the Lord Jesus revealed himself to him. And he had the opportunity to get saved, and thank the Lord he did.
We were talking between shows that we could go on for literally hours and hours. This could be 6 hours. We could kick off all the other shows on WHKW and have the
lunch. We're having a sit-in. Lock the doors. No, sorry, Eric. We won't do that. Promise.
You could literally do it because there's so much. And what this conversation opens the door to is something that's sweeping the church is Calvinism. Yeah. And when you say, Paul, on the road to Damascus, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. That's evidence that God is calling him. He didn't just zap him into salvation. He was calling him.
Right.
Paul was kicking against those pricks, which you point out are the pricks into the conscience.
Yeah.
And that's perfect example of how you're not just zapped into salvation, and why repentance has disappeared in the churches is because if you're just zapped into salvation, there's no need for repentance. You've just gotten the gift of God's salvation bestowed upon you for nothing that you do, and actually repenting is having to do something. Even though it's a gift of God, it's not Calvinism. It's not the thought of you don't have any part in your salvation, because even though it's a gift, you have to take the gift. If there's a cake sitting on the table, here's your gift. Okay, I have to pick it up and take it and eat it. That's, you still have a role in your salvation. If God wanted everyone to be saved, which he does, everyone would be saved.
Right, absolutely. And that's one of the Calvinists. They take extremes in doctrine. They'll take one verse, run with it and create a separate doctrine with it. And they just don't compare scripture upon scripture. But, you know, let's talk about repentance for a moment.
Yeah.
You know, you talk to 10 different preachers, you may get 10 different definitions of what repentance is. I'm convinced it's because we see so very little repentance that we have to sit around trying to explain what it is. Because in the first generation Christians, I think it was pretty clear the people who got saved and who didn't get saved. I think it was pretty clear they got thrown out of their homes and out of their communities. They changed their business dealings. They changed how they talked. In fact, the Bible says in Antioch, they were first called Christians because the people said that was a derogatory thing.
Yeah, that was
thing.
A slur.
Yeah, because they saw them living their life so contrary to everybody else. Mm-hmm. They knew, hey, there's something different. And everybody knew. And now there's so little repentance because there's, repentance and faith are the way to salvation. So if the devil's going to attack two places, it's going to be repentance and faith. And repentance is acknowledging the truth. It's not turning from sin because you and I can't turn from sin without the help of the Holy Spirit. We have to be cleansed of our sin. We have to be given the power to overcome that sin. And thankfully, that has happened in those who truly are saved have experienced that. Doesn't mean they haven't gone back into that sin at some point, but it means there's the acknowledging of the truth. And you can take this all the way through the scriptures because you acknowledge the truth. Let's take it back quickly to our study in Romans. Here's the whole problem. They didn't acknowledge the truth. And when you don't acknowledge the truth, you suppress the truth. And what you do is you seek other avenues to try and find out ways to feel better. Rather than acknowledge the truth, you want to run from the truth. Kind of like Jonah. You know, Jonah, there's a whole lot more people in America that are suffering like Jonah, not like Job. I love people going to the prisons. Oh, I'm suffering like Job. No, you're not. You're suffering like Jonah. You ran from the word of God. You did something that was against God's word. Don't tell me you're suffering like Jonah or Job because you're not. You're suffering like Jonah. And just like America. America's problem is a Jonah problem, not a Job problem. We're not so self-righteous and all this stuff or righteous to where we're doing everything right and boy, the devil's just attacking us. I pretty much think we just leave the door open and let the devil come right in because we don't understand this thing about it, repentance. And so people are so confused on it. And if they don't get it right, they're going to head down this road where they're going to disavow things that God says in the Word of God is sin and say, well, you know, we're under the age of grace now, so it doesn't apply, which you and I both know. That's a nonsense. That's just an excuse for somebody's ignorance. That's all it is.
You know what that makes me think of? We'll go right to the last verse of the first chapter of Romans, verse 32.
Yeah.
Who, knowing the judgment of God, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So they know, but they don't care, and you can't. You can't discuss somebody's sin with them, try to preach or teach or console them biblically if you're doing the same exact thing.
Right.
And you want to support somebody's sin that you're also involved in too, because then you're supporting each other and you're not coming at each other with correcting. And it's easier to say, well, you can do whatever you want because that allows me to do whatever I want, as opposed to saying, stop it.
Yeah.
Because you really should, because that's what God's word says.
Right.
It's hard to do. It's hard to look at somebody and say, hey, man, you really ought to not be doing XXX.
Right.
You shouldn't be being a boozer, destroying your life with drugs, being an adulterer on your wife, whatever it is. It's a hard thing to confront people like that.
Right.
But it's bad news when you know the judgment of God and do the same.
Right. And in throughout this, one of the things we brought up was about sodomy. And in this passage is one of the clearest passages is of how somebody comes to the point of choosing to be a homosexual. Or, you know, I heard a great preacher, S.M. Davis. He's got a little video out there, and he says, title of the video is, I'm not a heterosexual. And so it makes you click, well, what in the world is this preacher saying? He says, I'm a man, male. God made them male and female. God made them, the man and then his wife. So it's, you're either a male or you're female. It's one of those two. And man comes up with the ideas to put species together to justify even the homosexual type stuff. But so we understand that God has emphatically always 100% of the time been against the sin of sodomy. And you can go through, he establishes in creation the family, clear as day, man and woman. One man, one woman, not multiples, not man, man, woman, woman, man and woman, it's established. And then within the first six chapters of the Bible, you have 2,000 years worth of human history and God has to destroy the world. And you can rest assured there was infidelity, uncleanness, all of those things going on, where God said, these people are out of their mind, I'm done. And it said it sorrowed him that he made man, and so he judged the world. And then after that, you come in, and you've got Abraham who comes up as the next one on the scene, and he's got a nephew named Lot, and Lot goes to Sodom, which is where we go to the scriptures in Genesis, and even Lot calls what they're about to do to him. He says, don't do this so wickedly. Mm-hmm. So he even calls it wickedness. Then you go a little further to Moses. And of course, God gives Moses the Levitical law. And he says here in Leviticus 18 or 19, he says, listen, I'm taking you out of Egypt and I'm putting you in Canaan. And I don't want you to do the things you've seen in Egypt. And I don't want you to do the things that you see in Canaan. Don't do them. And he lists all of those things. And one of those things in there is that man lying with mankind. So now you have Moses, the Lord's advocating through Moses. This is absolutely sinful behavior. In fact, he calls it an abomination in Leviticus. Then you go a little further into the book of Judges, and you have a Levitical priest who is traveling with his concubine, and he comes to where the tribe of Benjamin is there in Judges 19. And they come, the same thing, that's filled with sodomites, and they come beating down his door, and he says, don't do this thing that's so vile. So he calls it vile. Then you go through in the New Testament, you got Paul in Romans chapter 1, you got him in 1 Corinthians, you got Peter in 2 Peter chapter 2, you've got Jude in chapter 1 in verse 7 there in Jude, all talking about how God judges this sin of sodomy, which is the extreme where somebody gets to if they deny God. Because you start with somebody who knows God through their conscience. Okay, Jesus said, you believe in God, believe also in me. So you have to understand who that God is. And Jesus came in that that place and revealed the Father to us. And somebody has to seek after truth to get to that point. But they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful. They became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And it says, verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Now watch this. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one towards another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet or satisfactory.
Gee, I don't understand. That must be God supporting homosexuality. Is that what it's saying?
Well, it goes back to the preachers who take a passage like this and they change it. Of course, you got another whole issue dealing with the different versions of the Bible that water different things down. You've got leaders, Rick Warren. You've got this guy, Southern Baptist preacher, David Youth. You've got Pope Francis. You've got in the black community, Jesse Jackson. You got Joe Olstein. You got Pat Robertson there. You got all kinds of people that are advocating that this, what God said right here isn't what God said, and it doesn't matter anymore.
Right. It's doesn't matter an ounce, and then it gets back to the last verse, who knowing the judgment of God, they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. It sums it all up right there, because these people do know it. They're just false teachers, and they tell right. you this isn't what it means. I think they know exactly what it means.
They do.
They just want to distort, or you are either, you have two problems. You either don't believe God's word, or you distort God's word, and that's what's happening, is God's word is being distorted by people, I think, that actually understand what it's supposed to say and twist that meaning to try and deceive people willfully, which is really something.
Scary.
It's scary. Do you know there's a guy who has 850 videos on Vimeo, and a lot of them deal with having homosexuals come to salvation, and they would be then, the word is healed from their homosexuality, because when you come to Jesus, it's a way out of the homosexual lifestyle. Well, Vimeo contacted this guy and said, your videos harass and incite hatred or depict excessive violence. These are videos about someone getting saved and leaving the homosexual lifestyle. Yeah. And Vimeo took them all down.
Sure.
Wiped them all out. So here's a guy, a Christian ministry, that's trying to teach the Word of God and teach the way to get out of the homosexual lifestyle, and Vimeo wiped them out.
Well, and again, he would find support for that in certain churches, even Northeast Ohio. We don't have to go to big guys. We can go to Northeast Ohio. We can go 3 miles down the road from our church and find a church in Rocky River that will vehemently disagree with the things that we're talking about. And I think the important thing to understand, one of the important things is, I start making a list of what God calls specifically this liberal type of living and liberal type of theology, and this sodomy and this type of behavior, of what it ultimately leads to. And we know there's many other things than just sodomy it leads to. There's a whole list there in verse 29 and 30 and 31 that you can look at that are a reflection of somebody that knows what God says, knows what God wants, but willingly chooses to go against it. This is what they're going to end up like. But you go through it. It says it's ungodly. It's unrighteous. It's an unthankful thing because they're not thankful towards God for who they are, how God made them. And I disagree with Pat Robertson saying that there are certain men that are born in women's bodies and women born in men's bodies. And I don't see any sin in that, as Pat Robertson said. I disagree with him in that. It says it's unclean. In fact, you may remember Peter wrote about Lot, and he said he was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked every single day. So even God calls that type of lifestyle filthy and unclean. Here's the one that throws people in jail. This is the one that people are going to suffer for and are suffering all around the world for, that are speaking out against this. It's unnatural. It's unnatural. Because now it means they weren't born that way. Do you know that's the only sin in the Bible that God says is unnatural? That's the only thing in the Bible that's unnatural. Sin is natural to us because we're sinners. We were born in sin and we were conceived in sin. But this is the one that goes beyond human nature. Men lust after women. Women lust after men. Men are not supposed to lust after men. Women are not supposed to lust after women. And they need to be corrected.
And it's the clearest one. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Couldn't be more clear.
Even 27. And likewise also the man leaving the natural use.
Right.
But it's unnatural. The Bible says it's unseemly, which means it's not proper. It doesn't fit properly. It doesn't go along with God's plan. It calls them unmerciful in verse 31. And in 2 Peter chapter 2, it says they're unlawful deeds. And it's unlawful according to God's word. And you know, unfortunately, I think there's a mentality today is because preachers, there's a lot of preachers who aren't saved. I mean, that's the reality of it. They're in pulpits, and because the people that sit under them are not saved, they're not reading their Bibles, they just think, well, this is where we're at in society, and so we just have to accept it and move on with it. And so it shows you how far away our society really is. I was reading a book by David Jeremiah, called What in the World is Going On? And in there, it talks about what role USA has in prophecy. But in that, talks about a man who wrote the book, The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire. And he lists like 11 different things in there of what's indicative of every empire that causes the failure. And every one of them, it's a destruction of the marriage unit. It's a destruction of it's sexual perversion. It's just that no-fault divorces. I mean, just a complete perversion of human relationships in that way. And that's why God said in the Old Testament, you know, these are special relationships. You need to preserve them and protect them, not corrupt them. But you know, again, this is one of those things. Even there's indications, even the Bible talks about that when the Antichrist comes on scene, he doesn't even have a desire of women. Now, that may mean he's homosexual. It may mean he's just nothing. But the reality is there's indications. So, I appreciate everybody listening today. I know it's a difficult subject because if you're like me, you've got family members are involved in this sin. And I don't talk with them. I haven't talked to them in years because they've chosen to go. But it's a difficult thing, and we have to know the truth on it, and we cannot compromise. We have to speak the truth in love, but we got to know what the truth is. Love without truth is really hate, and you got to remember that. And so thanks for listening, and thanks, James and Rebecca, for being with us today.
Thanks for having us. God is calling everyone. You have to either accept or deny his call. Please accept it. I beg you.
Amen.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220, The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.